Return of the Funk.
We're recording it as soon as we start saying Return of the Funk.
We're getting extra funk. Well, we should maybe pray first, and we should turn the thing off. Otherwise, it's gonna like super awkward.
It's the usual. 3:03 p.m. Starting with Matt Thomas, Del Funky, the Homo Sapien.
So, did you guys have any questions that we were hanging on from last time?
Why are you so attractive? And what can I do to look like you?
Can we include Rafiki this time?
Yes, Rafiki. Rafiki knows the way.
Are they selling stuffed Zazus anywhere?
Oh boy. Well, you know, I'll hang on to all those questions, and you'll see if kind of in the course of the time
when
here.
When we come upon those.
Yeah, sort of when those issues are raised exegetically, we will, you know, we'll bring them out, and it'll be great. It'll be lots of fun. Is that Shauna? Dude, it's Shauna, my sister's friend.
My sister's friend.
It's Shauna.
Hi, Shauna.
Shauna.
Do you guys have any other questions that were holdovers from last time? All right. Well then,
dive in.
We will read. So Paul has just finished his allegory of Sarah and Hagar, and we will go. So we're on chapter 5 right now.
I should have brought my Bible,
dude. It's okay. So for freedom, us Christ set free, set free is probably the best way to say it. You could say in freedom, for freedom, to freedom, something like that. It's a dative case, and there's no preposition there that's governing it, and so you just have a general dative sense, which could be with freedom, in freedom, for freedom, to freedom. I think in English we usually go with for freedom, which I think works. It's pretty ambiguous as it is, but one of those ideas is what we're looking for. Stand, therefore, and not again under a yoke of slavery. You can see, be held, I think is a good way to say it. Let me see. Yeah. I think it's a good way to put it. Be held. Behold, I, Paul, am saying to you that if you are circumcised, Christ you nothing benefits. Or you could say benefited. Will benefit. That's the best way to do it. Sorry, it's kind of unclear because of the funny vowels there. So, say it one more time. And this is, again, just Paul making real clear, real explicit what he's talking about, what's the issue at hand. So, if you are circumcised, Christ you nothing will benefit. Going to the theology of that is going back to Hagar. That's going back to the old system. That's going back under Zazu. If you're circumcised, you're saying that Zazu is still he's still the one in charge. And if Zazu is still the one in charge, then Mufasa isn't the one in charge, you can say. Make sense? Yeah, you're not taking him directly from the father. Can't believe that actually works.
So good.
Now I testify, or I myself testify again, to every man being circumcised, that he is, it's literally, he is a debtor. You can say he is one who has an obligation, something like that, to do the whole law, or to fulfill the whole Torah. You have been, or you were, nullified is the one that you'd usually go with, but I don't think that works super well here. We'll just go with that, because that's the way one we usually use. You were nullified from Christ. You were, so in the sense of, like, abolished from Christ. Who, in the law, in the Torah, are being justified. you fell from grace. So you fell from the favor that was given to you. For we, by the Spirit, from pistis, the hope of righteousness, are eagerly awaiting. Or, yeah, are eagerly awaiting is the best way to say it. That's a fun one to unpack, because you have the hope of righteousness still in this kind of future sense. So it's not just, hey, we got this thing, it's all kind of said and done. There's like a forward-looking orientation. So for we, in the Spirit or by the Spirit, again, it's just a dative, so it's hard to say. It could be with the Spirit. You're so goofy. From pistis, the hope of righteousness, are eagerly awaiting. I would fill that out more precisely if I knew a really good and clever way to do it, which I was confident would be super, super accurate. But in absence of that, I will just go to verse 6 and act as though that never just happened. So, for it is, but it's one of those things where it's like, if there's a can of worms, I usually want to have a pretty good sense of, oh, here's the garden in which we will plant this can of worms, and you know, it will bear much fruit. They will eat, you know, the soil, and we'll get really delicious vegetables, as if that wasn't an oxymoron. But if you're like, I think there's maybe a garden over here, but it could be over here too. But you already opened the can, and the worms can start sort of crawling out and kind of getting all over the place in your shoes and stuff. And anyway, there's really no good reason for this to be recorded right now.
I got some
Jesus on my shoes. Anyway, we'll just go to verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, anything... it's literally anything is strong. That's the most straightforward way you're translated. So, like, neither circumcision, you can say, has any strength, availeth anything, is the way that we'll often do it in translations. Or at least, maybe not often, in the King James will do it. You probably wouldn't say availeth outside of that. Maybe you would.
It's a good word.
If you're awesome. So in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, anything, like, is strong for anything, does anything, nor uncircumcision, but pistis through love. And then, again, if we're going with the way we've translated this verb here, being energized. So, neither circumcision, so neither being this Jewish thing, or being uncircumcision, not being Jewish, none of these have strength for anything in Christ. In Christ, the strength is pistis, through love, being energized. I think that we usually translate that in English as faith expressing itself through love, or faith working through love, which is a fairly good translation, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty sweet verse. You were running well. Who you, so you being the, yeah, you should be able to figure that out. You being the object there. I think that's caused you to stumble, something like that? What is that word? Yeah, hindered or thwarted. So who you thwarted from the truth to not be persuaded. So who hindered you from being persuaded by the truth? The circumcision is not from the one who called you. A little yeast, all the batch yeasts is literally. You can think of where Jesus goes and says, beware the yeast of the Pharisees. And everyone's like,
What's he talking about? Is he talking about bread? Is he mad because we forgot bread? Dang it, we forgot bread. He's super. He's really upset. Yeah. Whoa. Dang. Pause button. Good and tasty airplane has landed. We'll continue. So there's a spot where Jesus is talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
He says, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees." Literally the yeast of the Pharisees. And everyone's like, "Okay, we'll do that. Yes, we don't know what you're talking about." My guess is that there's some correspondence between what's going on there and what's going on here, because what the Pharisees are doing is quite similar, in that they're making a big deal, you can say, about the ancillary parts of the law, and not the, again, this is the force of Jesus' critique of the Pharisees in Matthew 23, is that the weighty matters, the things that God really cares about, are the things that they've neglected. It's the outside parts. It's the things on the side that they've put a whole bunch of stuff on. So I think you can see that corresponding well with here. It says just a little bit of this, a little bit of yeast goes and yeasts the whole batch. A little bit of this stuff that the Pharisees were doing. A little bit of this. Oh yeah, maybe a little bit of, you know, maybe a little bit of Jewish particularity, you know, is good. Paul is saying, dude, nope. Just even a little bit of it. If you're going with a little bit of it, it is going to make the whole piece of bread all yeasty.
Can't be yeasty as Christians.
that's really well said. Does that make sense?
People are made out of bread.
Yeah, that's okay. Really what. I really feel like that's at the heart of what Paul is getting at.
Christians, we need to buy more bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. I feel like we've settled that one pretty well. So we were probably in a verse somewhere. Oh, verse 10. I have been persuaded, you could say, for you in the Lord, that nothing else you think, literally, you regard nothing else. But the one, you can say, disturbing you will bear the judgment, whoever he may be. Now I, brothers, if circumcision still I preach, why then am I persecuted? Why am I pursued? It's probably good to pause there and say, how's it exactly working? If I am saying, hey, circumcision this, circumcision that, if I'm still proclaiming circumcision, why am I being persecuted still? I think it would be a sense of being persecuted from the Jews, in the sense that he is going on and doing all these things that are supposed to be. He's basically saying that these Jewish particularities don't matter anymore. And we have evidence from very early on of the Jews not being soups excited about this. Soups enthusiastic. So.
Soups enthused?
Yeah. They're definitely not soups enthused. They're soups not enthused. So I think that's
in Bible terms.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
totes.
Okay.
So I think what Paul is saying here is, look, I'm not taking the easy way here. I am, like, it would be much easier to just keep, you know, kind of go along here, do the whole Peter thing, avoid trouble. But the fact that he's standing up in this situation, you know, shows, I think, this, you know, say the seriousness of the matter. So why still am I being persecuted? Then would be nullified the scandal of the cross. Um, trying to think if there's anything I want to say about that.
The scandal of the cross?
Yeah, literally. So, the literal thing is a stumbling block. We could get into Paul and stumbling block for forever. This is like he talks about this a lot in Romans, how Christ has become the stumbling block to the Jews. There's we could get into a very long discussion, I think, of what exactly it is. I think you can say that Paul views what's happened with the cross as being a stumbling block because of what he was saying earlier, that everybody that's hung on a tree is accursed. And so that is, I think he'd say that's the fundamental reason why Jesus presents a stumbling block to them. You can say that it's, they're thinking it's either Finkel or Einhorn, and clearly this guy is Einhorn and not Finkel because he was hung on a tree. And our theology of Einhorn is such that it can't be close to the theology of Finkel. Those are two very...
It can't be the same thing.
Yeah, it's very, very different matters. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
Guys can't be girls. Sheep can't be lions.
Yeah. I kissed a man.
And I liked it.
Oh, boy.
On the record, for the record.
So verse 12, it's, so this is literally better, or would that, indeed, or also, they, this is really, will be cut off, the ones, I think maybe disturbing is a good way to say this. The ones troubling you? Yeah, the ones disturbing you, I think is the primary definition given. When it says they will be cut off, there is sort of a double meaning there. It's literally, so it's apokopsantai. So you have kapto, which is cut, apa, which is off. So would be cut off. It'd be better if they were cut off. It's also the same word for... So you have circumcision, which is, you know, you have, and then there's this right here, but then you have the other one where it's like right there, and that one's like you thought that was painful. So that's just, it's the same word for castration.
Oh no, dude.
Ooh. Yeah. So Paul here, he's having a little fun. He's saying it's better if these people were cut off. You know, if there's a little. You know, there's a little yeast. It's gonna ruin the whole dough. So you've got to get rid of the little yeast. And so, in that sense, it would be better if these people were cut off. But it's also a little clever because they've been talking about circumcision the whole time. They're talking about, oh, hey, what's the little? Yeah, just cut off the little thing. And Paul says it'd be better if they just cut the whole thing off. That'd be. Then yeah.
So Paul's kind of funny. He's a little prankster.
He's a little, you know. He's having a little fun.
It's he's like, what? Just ditch it.
He's having a little fun. It's been a stressful letter in a lot of ways, you know? It hasn't been super easy for him.
He's got some foreskin.
So, that shows...
To claim the foreskin of the Jews.
Yes. Yes. That's so well said. So I don't know if there's any further questions on that one. It's just a plain old double entendre. It's really neat. It's, you know, would that the ones troubling you were cut off? And that carries multiple meanings, both of which are appropriate. Both of which I think are good. So for you, you could say on the basis of freedom would be the most literal one. You in freedom or for freedom were called brothers. So only not the freedom for a pretense for the flesh, but through the love slave towards one another, serve one another is literal, is what we usually translate, it's literally slave one another. So don't take this freedom as a, you could say from Torah observance, as something to go and as an excuse just to go and do whatever your flesh wants to do. Because the reason Torah is given, you can say, in the first place is because the flesh of the Israel is out of control. Moses comes down from the mountain, everybody's crazy party. It's crazy party time. Torah comes following that. So don't go and use the absence of Torah, the absence of Zazu, to go and mean, hey, you can do whatever you want to do now. No, now you're under Mufasa. I almost said Mustafa, which would be different. So I don't even know what that would mean. For all the Torah in one word has been fulfilled in the you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if one another you are biting and devouring,